he was gone, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. We have before us another one of the great night scenes of Scripture. A night scene involving a great storm that came down upon the Sea of Galilee. A night scene involving a great Savior who is referred to as the Stranger of Galilee. This night scene reminds me of the words of the psalmist. Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24. For there we read, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And the disciples who were with Christ in that ship, as they were crossing Galilee that night, in the words of the psalmist, saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For the Lord Jesus that night stilled the tempest and calmed the sea and brought peace not only to the Sea of Galilee, but peace and calm to the disciples. Now this storm and the wonders which followed took place after a long day of preaching and teaching by the Lord Jesus. The strain of this long day's work had taken its toll on the Savior. It is now eventide, and we see from our reading that the Master is physically exhausted. But his work is not finished. There's a soul to be rescued on the other side of Galilee in the land of Gadara. And so the Lord Jesus commands his disciples to get into the ship and to pass over to the other side. And then we read in verse 36, they took him even as he was in the ship. They took him even as he was. It is believed that these words mean that because the Lord Jesus was so exhausted after a long day's ministry, he was so tired that the disciples literally carried him into the ship. They took him even as he was. And he wasn't very long taken into the ship, then we read that the Lord Jesus fell fast asleep, indicating just how exhausted the Savior was. It was then that a great storm arose. And it was during that storm that the disciples saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And I want to look with the disciples tonight at the works of the Lord and the wonders which took place that evening, that night on the Sea of Galilee. And as we do so, as we've already indicated, I trust the word will be a source of encouragement to us this evening. First thing that we want to notice about this night on the Sea of Galilee is the path of the Savior. The path of the Savior. We have it there in verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So there we have the path of the Savior. He wanted to cross over the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And he wanted the disciples to go with him. Notice, with regard to the path of the Savior, the command. The Lord commands his disciples, saying, let us pass over unto the other side. The Lord Jesus knew that over on the other side in the land of Gadara, there was a man who needed to be delivered, who needed to be rescued from the power and the clutches of Satan. The Savior also knew that he and the disciples would have to go through a storm to get to that man and to rescue that man. We have, you may remember, pointed out before that this is the only occasion that we read of the Lord Jesus going to the land of Gadara. And so we might say, in many ways, the Lord Jesus went out of his way, leaving Galilee, the place where he had conducted most of his ministry, leaving Galilee and going across the sea to Gadara on his once only visit to Gadara in order that he might reach this man. This man, of course, we know was Legion, and to deliver him from the power of Satan. The Lord not only knew there was a soul in Gadara, but the Lord also knew there was a storm between himself and his disciples and the land of Gadara. The Lord Jesus, of course, is omniscient. The Lord Jesus is God. He knows all things. He knew about the storm. And he reveals it to his disciples. He reveals to the disciples that there was something before them before they reached Gadara. Look at the words again. And it came on the same day when the even was come. He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now those words may be translated another way. They may be translated as follows. Let us pass through unto the other side. Let us pass through. Pass through what? There is only one conclusion to that question. Pass through the storm. The Lord Jesus was telling his disciples, let us pass through the storm. Here we have his awareness. The Lord was aware that a storm lay before them. And while the storm may have taken the disciples by surprise, it most certainly did not take the Lord Jesus by surprise. Because the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, let us pass through. Let us pass through the storm. The storms that we face in life, the troubles that come our way, often come upon us without warning. They take us by surprise. We mentioned this morning that prayer request for our brother Kevin Sargent, the elder there in our Malvern church. He discovered that he has cancer. He didn't know he had cancer. And he went to the doctor for a routine checkup. And it was during that routine checkup that the cancerous growth was discovered. That was a surprise. That trial came upon our brother Kevin and his wife and family, came upon them by surprise, came upon them suddenly. The trials of life often come upon us suddenly. They take us by surprise, but the comforting thing, believer, is to know that they don't take the Lord by surprise. This was the plan. This was the course that the Lord Jesus had mapped out for his disciples. And that plan was to take them through the storm in order that they might behold his power. We do not have trials in life. If we do not have trouble in life, then we will not see the triumph. We will not experience the triumph of the Lord. We will not experience the power of the Lord and how He's able to deliver us. And sometimes the course that the Lord has planned for you and me, and He has a plan for every one of us, sometimes that course will lead us by the rough way. And sometimes the course the Lord has for us will take us into the eye of a storm. But let us remember this: the Lord knows all about it. The Lord knows all about our storms. He knows all about our struggles. And He will guide till the day is done. For there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Good to know that the Lord knows all about our struggles. And so He was aware of this. So you have His awareness. And in these words, you have His assurance. Let us pass over, or let us pass through onto the other side. Was that not a word of assurance to the disciples? First of all, the Lord made them aware that there was something that would lie, that lay before them before they got to Gadara, and they would pass through it. The Lord was aware of this, and the Lord then gave them a word of assurance. What was that word of assurance? The Lord said, "Let us pass through." He was assuring them by these words that they would pass through the storm, that He would bring them through the storm. And how good it is to get that word of assurance from the Lord when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a time of sorrow. To get a word from the Lord, and that word assures us that we will pass through the storm. That the Lord will not abandon us in the midst of the storm, but rather He will bring us through it. It is very evident that the disciples missed this word from the Lord. Had they been thinking about what the Lord said, had they taken to heart what the Lord said, then they would not have panicked when they found themselves in the middle of the storm. because the Lord said, let us pass through. Then they would not have come to the Lord Jesus and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They thought they were going to perish. Had they forgotten already what the Lord said? The Lord said, let us pass through. It's all right. We're going to go through this storm. We'll get to the other side. And sometimes we behave in a similar way to the disciples. The Lord has often given us a word. A word during our time of trial, that word has promised us that we will pass through that trial. But somehow we seem to miss it. And we panic. And we wonder what's going to become of us. What's going to happen? We forget that word. We find in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our light affliction is but for a moment. Paul says, and it worketh for us, doesn't work against us, it worketh for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, the Lord will bring us through the affliction. The Lord will bring us through the storm. There's the assurance that He will bring us through the storm to see the Son of Glory on the other side. So we have then His command. Then you have His company. Savior said to His disciples, let us pass over onto the other side. Then we read, they took Him even as He was. Now the Lord knew that a storm lay ahead of them. And He was not going to allow the disciples to go through that storm alone. And so He says, let us pass over, or let us pass through. It's good to know that the Lord will not allow us, will not have us to pass through and face these storms alone. But all who have taken Him, even as He is, all who have received Christ have taken Him into their vessel. And whatever storms come our way, and however our little vessel is tossed to and fro in the midst of the storm, let us remember this, that Christ is with us. And with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Is that not an encouragement? To know that we have the Lord Jesus with us. Let me ask you, believer, from the day you got saved, was there ever a storm in your life that the Lord Jesus left you to pass through on your own? That the Lord Jesus left you to face on your own? No, not one. The Lord Jesus has not left us to face these storms in life alone. For He's with us. Let us pass through. The Lord is saying to the disciples, I'm going to pass through this storm with you. That's good to know. As we read in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through, there's the word again, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Just as the Lord told the disciples, let us pass through. I'll be with you. And we will pass through this storm together. This was all because they had Christ in their company. For it says they took him, or they took him alongside. That's what the words mean. And they took him even as he was, or they took him alongside. Isn't it good to have the Lord Jesus alongside us in the storms of life? There are many and they have to face the storms of life alone because they don't have the Lord Jesus alongside them. They've never taken him alongside them. There's no room for him in their vessel. There's no room for him in their heart. There's no room for him in their home. And so when the storms break upon them, there's no one alongside them to see them through. You have not only the command and the company, but you have the commotion. The commotion came in the form of a great storm in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. This great storm of wind came upon them with great suddenness. These experienced fishermen had no prior warning about what was coming. It took them unawares. As we've already pointed out, how many times have the storms of life come upon us suddenly and taken us unawares? That's how it was with Job. All his afflictions came upon him on a certain day. Over in Job chapter 1 verse 13, and there was a day. Everything was going well up until that day. And there was a day, Job 1 verse 13, when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxes were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, and so it went on, and it all happened on a day. And as far as Job was concerned, it came upon him without warning. And upon his sons and his daughters without warning. The storms of life often come upon us without warning. We don't see the gathering clouds. We don't feel that little breeze that heralds the beginning of a great storm. When the storms of life come, dear child of God, it's good to know that we have Jesus alongside us. How could we face these storms without Christ alongside us? You'll notice the suddenness and you'll notice the severity. The storm was so great that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Verse 37. Indeed, Luke, in his account of this incident, puts it another way, saying, they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Luke 8, verse 23. And so the ship was full of water. Usually, when a ship is full of water, it'll sink. But the Lord kept the ship afloat. Sometimes as if our ship is full of water. And the storms and troubles that we have, it's as if all hope of us ever being delivered from this trouble has disappeared. It's almost as if it's too late. That's how the disciples felt. They were in jeopardy. The ship was full of water. As far as they were concerned, it was almost too late for anything to be done. Have you ever had troubles like that? Have you ever had burdens like that? Have you ever had problems like that? Where you feel this problem cannot be solved. This burden cannot be lifted. This need cannot be met. You ever felt it's almost too late for anything to be done? That's how it was in the house of Jairus. Remember Jairus, and he came to the Lord and told him about his 12-year-old daughter that she was dying. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" It's over. Nothing more can be done. Why troublest thou the master any further? It's too late. That's how they saw it. But the Lord Jesus, of course, saw it very differently. It's never too late, believer, as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned. No matter how severe the storm, no matter how great the trouble, no matter how painful the trial, it's never too late. Why, the Lord Jesus is with us in the vessel. For remember what he said to the disciples. He said to them, "Let us go through." We're going through. We'll get through this storm. And how much of a comfort it is to us when the Lord Jesus comes and whispers to us, "We'll get through this storm together. We'll get through it." And so we see here this great storm. The path of the Savior was through the storm. And then you have the power of the Savior in the storm. Remember again the words of the psalmist. "They that go down to the sea in ships see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." The disciples were about to behold the wonders of the Lord. If they had not gone through that storm, if they had not encountered that storm, they would not have seen the wonderful power of the Lord at work. If we don't have troubles, then we'll not see the power of God at work. Although it did not appear that they were going to see any wonders that night, because the Lord Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, here we see that the disciples were alarmed at Christ. They were alarmed. They were alarmed that he was in a sound sleep, while they believed they were going to perish. They were alarmed. That the Lord was sleeping when they believed they were going to perish and believed they were in jeopardy. Now, it wouldn't be the first time that God's people have been alarmed during the time of trouble because it seemed to them the Lord was asleep. Turn to Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 23. Here's the psalmist. What does he say? He says, "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." What did the psalmist cry? "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord?" And sometimes, and if we're honest, we'll admit to this, that in our troubles we think the Lord is asleep. Because there's no sign of deliverance. There's no sign of our burden being lifted. There's no sign of our problem being solved. And we think, is the Lord asleep? Seems to be asleep and doesn't know what we're going through. That's what alarmed the disciples. The Savior was asleep, and they didn't know, as far as they were concerned, what they were going through. We ask a question. Did they think that they would be any safer with a waking Christ than with a sleeping Christ? Did it make any difference whether the Lord was awake or asleep? No, it didn't. Didn't make any difference at all. Because the Lord had promised them, "We're going through the storm. Let us go through onto the other side." Even if Christ was asleep, they should have held on to His word. The word that the Lord gave them at the beginning of the journey, "Let us pass through." Or "Let us pass over on to the other side." The Lord said they would be on the other side, then they could have rested on that word. But then when we have our trials, we tend to think like the disciples, "Well, our Savior is asleep." We're like the psalmist. "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord?" And when we're alarmed, we forget the Lord's word. We forget those words, those promises the Lord has given to us over and over and over and over again. We forget all about them. No wonder the Lord said to them at the end of the journey, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Why are you so fearful? Did I not tell you we would pass through the storm? They were alarmed at Christ, and then you have their appeal to Christ. They were so frightened by the storm, they thought they were going to perish, and they told him so. Verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" This was a dreadful appeal. Dreadful. Dreadful. Accusing the Lord Jesus of not caring. When in reality, there was no one in heaven or no one on earth who cared for the disciples more than the Lord Jesus. And sometimes when we're panic stricken, when we're alarmed because of our troubles, and the pressure builds up, we tend to say things that we shouldn't say. Some people accuse the Lord of things that they shouldn't accuse the Lord of. Like Martha. When the Savior came into her home, she came over to the Savior and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone?" And the Lord had to gently rebuke Martha. She shouldn't have said that. "Lord, dost thou not care?" Of course he cared. And he cared for the disciples. And he cares for us. What did the psalmist say? "Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Has God forgotten to be gracious? No, he hasn't forgotten to be gracious. And yes, he does care. And when things appear to be going our way, let us not charge the Lord. Let us not accuse the Lord of not caring. Let us not accuse the Lord of forgetting to be gracious. For the Lord is glorious, and the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Psalm 145 and verse 8. And then you have the ability of Christ. When they had awakened the Savior from his sleep, we are told what he did next. Verse 39, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Had there not been a storm for the disciples to pass through, they would not have seen what the Lord did. They would not have seen the power of Christ. Here we have his ability. His ability to still the tempest. I want you to notice something. It says in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind." And when the disciples awakened the Savior in verse 39, it says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind." And so in verse 37, there arose a great storm. But then in verse 39, we can say there arose a great Savior. Because he arose and rebuked the wind. Notice what it says again. It says he rebuked the wind. What was it that had caused the disciples so much anguish and trouble? It was the wind. It says that in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind." It was because of the wind that the ship was full of water. It was because of the wind that the disciples were afraid. It was because of the wind that they thought they were going to perish. And the Lord Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind. In other words, he dealt with the very thing that had caused the disciples so much anguish. He dealt with this, the heart of the matter. He dealt with the wind. And the Lord Jesus, when he comes to our aid, he will deal with the heart of the matter. Whatever's troubling us, that's what he will deal with. Whatever causes the trouble, Christ will deal with the cause. He is able to do that. There's his ability. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great can. That's His ability. And we should remember that. The Lord is able to calm the troubled sea. And He's able to calm the troubled heart. He's able to calm the troubled mind. He's able to calm the troubled conscience. Isn't He a wonderful Savior? It's good to know Him. And finally, you have there the peace of the Savior. Having rebuked the wind and the Lord then said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Here we have, first of all, the word of the Savior. The word of the Savior. The Lord calmed the troubled sea with a word. Peace be still. How often has the Lord calmed the troubled sea in your heart and in mine, in your mind and in mine? With just a word. I'm sure you've experienced that. The Lord has given you a word. On this occasion He said to the sea, peace be still. That word still is an interesting word. What the Lord was saying there, peace, be muzzled or be silent. The Lord Jesus muzzled the storm. The Lord Jesus silenced the winds. You think of a muzzle, you think of a muzzle been put on a dog. Have you ever lain awake with a neighbor's dog barking and barking and barking and barking and barking for hours and you've said, I wish somebody would muzzle that dog. I wish somebody would silence that dog. There's an old dog that barks at us all the time. It's called the devil. He barks at us with temptations. He barks at us with His accusations. And praise the Lord, Christ is able to muzzle the old dog. Just as He muzzled the storm. Just as He silenced the howling wind. Silenced it. And there was peace. The word of the Savior. It's also the work of the Savior. As much as these disciples would have longed for a calm in the sea, there was nothing they could do about it. They couldn't still the tempest. They couldn't calm the sea. There wasn't a thing they could do about it. This was the work for Christ. And this was the work of Christ. And He's still doing that work. He's still bringing peace to men and women. He's still calming nerves. He's still calming the troubled mind. He's still doing that. And the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, that He would give to them His peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'll give you my peace. He's still doing the same. That's the work of Christ. It's the word of Christ. And finally, for these disciples, they saw the wonder of Christ. There in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And over in Luke chapter 8, and verse 25, and He said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey Him. The wonder of Christ. And the Lord does a great work for us. works in our hearts, gives us trouble, gives us peace in our trouble. We stand back and wonder at the greatness of our God, wonder at the power of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts this evening. Let us all pray.